This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for October 15th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. B-O-O-P. Video game news and stuff to talk about and things to discuss, and it's a weird day. So it's Wednesday. I normally don't record the show on Wednesdays, usually Mondays and Thursdays. But this week is crazy town. There are 100 things going on, and all of them require my attention. Some of which requires me to physically be someplace else, and as a result, I did not want a half A two shows this week. Instead, I'm full A-ing, full ass. Is what you're getting on this show. I do apologize, though. I know people were counting on a show Monday. And you were counting on one coming Thursday. Instead, you're getting one Wednesday. Hey, two for one. Maybe it'll be a little longer, even not much, though, because I know you like the short format. Oh, I've been playing the pre-sequel. Borderlands, the pre-sequel thing. Where you get to go learn about Crazy Jack or whatever his name is. What's his name? Happy Jack? Jumpin' Jack, Flappy Jack, Jack, you know the one, the mask, the guy with the mask. I mean, it's supposed to be like his origin story, right? That's the deal. So far, his origin is hanging out with me, running around a space station, blowing crap up, and then firing me out of it down to the moon below, where I will... Where I've met some other people, and I've taken on a couple of quests, and I've killed a few moon dogs. But other than that, I haven't really done much down there. Still a couple of quests to go and do and turn in and get stuff for and all that. But it's you know what this game is. Let me tell you. Let me break it to you. Are you sitting down? Are you holding on to something? It's a Borderlands game. Here's my problem with it, though. It feels good. There's a couple of things I really like. Some of the UI tweaks are nice, and my favorite thing is auto-looting everything. So, well, everything but chests. You can't auto-loot those. But if I'm killing dudes, it used to be whatever they pooped out, if I wanted to get those, I had to go pick them up. Hold down E. I'm on the keyboard. That's where I'm playing this, PC. You hold down E, and that would suck everything up, kind of vacuum style, if indeed you were out of whatever ammo dropped or whatever. And then if they were weapons, you could inspect them sort of on the ground, but you could also just grab them and then check them later or whatever. Now, any cash or weapons, or not weapons, but any ammo that falls off your victims, people you have murdered, they just auto, you just pick them up. It's like when Diablo 3 introduced just walking across your money on the ground and the money would just suck up like a Hoover. That's how that works now. And it's great. Oh, man. Just a nice little quality of life improvement to that game. But there are two things wrong with it. I'm gonna play through, and so far, I mean, whatever. It's more Borderlands. That's cool. I enjoy it. You can only get this on 360, PS3, or PC. No next-gen version of this. This is a tied-everyone-over game until something new from Gearbox directly. Because this is like 2K Australia. It's not even the same developer, although Gearbox is obviously involved. But I assume they are deep in work on a proper Borderlands 3 game to come out at some point. I predict 2016. That's my guess. Even though we've never really heard anything about that. But anyway, it's fine. It's fine. I think I miss the vibe of the desert planet stuff. I think I don't necessarily love that I'm on a moon. The gravity stuff is interesting, but not that interesting for me. So, I mean, I'm going to play through it. It's not like I expect this to be a true sequel. In fact, it's quite literally a prequel. Or pre-sequel, they're calling it. And it's got some good humor in it. It's a little uneven, though. Some of it's kind of real funny, and then you're like, oh, man, that's great. Some of those lines are really funny. And then the next minute, you turn around, and some of the worst voice acting on Earth happens. You're like, whoa, what happened here? Like, the character voice acting of the characters you play, terrible. Terrible. You know how they say spared no expense in Jurassic Park? They don't say that here. Not on the VO. Some of it, like Jack's funny. If you like Claptrap, he's all right. You can play him, by the way. I'm playing the big burly dude with a beard. So That's usually how I roll. Give me my soldier style dude. He calls in air support from drones, which is kind of fun. Anyway, I'll let you know more as I play through it. Pretty so far, pretty good. I would call this full-sized DLC. Full-size, full-price DLC is how I would refer to this game. Because it doesn't quite feel like a true sequel yet. But so far, competently made, looks fine, all that stuff. And if it wasn't enough, I have also dabbled quite a bit in the World of Warcraft patch 6.02, is it? Or 05? Whatever it is. This is basically the pre-patch before the finished expansion comes out in a month. And this includes all the systems changes, or most of them, the new character models, brand new little legendary questy thing at the top there. You can go in and get take out some stuff and do some stuff, which was way too easy. It was simple as all hell, which is my only complaint with it. It was just too easy. It's like cut and paper. It was too easy. But it's cool, and I like it, and I'm excited, and I love that game anyway, and I have since I played the alpha back in 03. So bring it on. And people are losing their crap today because I guess if you had a black character, you made a black human character, for example, or as dark as the skin tone would let you in the past, and you got these new character models today, there's a bug there that Blizzard is claiming is a bug that makes it so the skin tones are not as dark as they're supposed to be. So some have cried racism, saying Blizzard is trying to wipe out all other races but white in the game, which is the silliest freaking thing I've ever heard of in my life. Why do we have to jump to dumb conclusions like this? The Worgens all got messed up too. I think there was maybe another race that looks goofy. But yeah, they say it's a bug. They're going to fix it. It'll be in there. When you go make a new character, the darker shades are there. They're just not showing up when you take a screenshot in the game. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but people going, what they're not telling you about the great racial wipe of Warcraft. It's like, come on, guys. Really? Just sit back for a second and think about what you are alleging. You're alleging that a creator of a game who requires and needs their player base to be as diverse as possible, they're not trying to shut anybody out, went through the trouble to make all the dark-skinned people in the game lighter because they're racist and they don't like black people, and they've waited long enough. It's time, everyone. 10 years into this game, it's time that we get our racist agenda on the table. Really? I got tweets going, what people aren't talking about. And I'm like, well, no, people are talking about it. It's all over the forums. It's all over Twitter. It's everywhere. And so is Blizzard. They came out and said something about it and said, oh, whoops. All right, well, we're fixing that. Really? Do you have to have a conspiracy every freaking turn, every corner you look around? Does it have to be that way? I say nay. All right, let's get into the news of the week, because it is the week and it's Wednesday only. I apologize. No show tomorrow. Hey, but you're getting a show, aren't you? Just going to complain to me about that? You can now do your e-shopping with Nintendo's website. Wow, it's almost like it's 2014 and this is possible. Nintendo's website now allows you to buy certain downloadable games directly, foregoing the need to hop on the eShop on your 3DS or Wii U. And that's good. A bunch of people saw a buy digital option on the North American site this week. It didn't come up with an announcement or anything. It just sort of happened. You can either buy and receive the eShop code, essentially, and then enter it on the unit. Or I guess you can just use your NNID, and it lets you download it as soon as Nintendo's thing kicks in on the device and it sees, oh, you purchased it, we'll just auto-download it. Still a little bit weird, man. The way they do things, their online stuff is so weird. It's been weird since day one and continues to be weird. And I can't tell if it's weird now because the legacy stuff has made it so it has to continue to be weird because they can't just change it all at once. But if they think that's our problem, they've got it wrong. You could tomorrow say, hey, we're going to quit doing this dumb friend code crap and this whole thing is real dumb and we're going to quit doing it all this way and we're going to introduce a sensible way to manage your games online, both through the devices and otherwise, like everything else. And I don't just mean game companies. I mean everything on Earth. We're going to do that. I don't think you'd have a single person complain. Nintendo, I would really prefer to have these archaic codes that make no sense and that I have to enter in manually and remember and keep somewhere else so when my friends come around, I know what to give them. I would really like to do that, please. Nobody's doing that. Ridiculous, dude. USU sucks. That's something you hear around here, usually around college football time. But right now, you're hearing it for a different reason. Feminist critic Anita Sarkeesian. She's been in the news a lot with all this Gamergate stuff in the last few months. She has canceled an appearance at Utah State University. That college is about an hour and a half north of me, where I live here in Salt Lake City. Following death threats where the institution could not implement stronger safety controls. Quote, Sarkeesian was informed that, in accordance with the state of Utah's law regarding carrying firearms, if a person has a valid concealed firearm permit and is carrying a weapon, they are permitted to have it at the venue, according to USU's statement. Here's what I say about that. It is not a publicly owned university. Or is it? I don't think so. I may have to look this up. But for example, if this was happening at BYU, which is south of me by about half an hour, 45 minutes, they could shut this. They could do whatever they want because they're a privately held university. So they could have separate rules, and I think they do, about firearms and weapons, where you're just straight up not allowed to have them, whether or not you have permit to carry, or there's a word for it. You have a gun, I guess, gun permit. I don't do guns, so I don't know. I don't know how this stuff works. I don't want to sound like a total noob here. However, she's getting specific threats. Here's my problem. She's getting specific threats to her life if she comes and appears there, and they're bad. I mean, I've read this dude's stuff. It's bad. I think the school should be able to intervene and say, all right, well, we're not, you know, we have these metal detectors. We have them for sporting events and things. Why can't we put them right here and have some similar measures in place? Because that's crazy. Why would we want to invite a guest to the university to come speak and not provide adequate security if specific threats are out there? I think that's super, super dumb that they're hiding behind a law, which, fine, it's the law. I get it. But this is, you're telling me you've got no recourse. You're full of the poop, USU. Go Aggies. Actually, I like Utah State University for their art program. Really good. One of the best in the region. But come on. No guns at this thing. I don't think it's that hard. Civilization Beyond Earth's trailer is up, and it's super cool. By the way, you know this game's coming out on the 25th? It is among my maybe top three games I have been looking forward to the most this year. One of them's already out, Shadow of Mordor, which I'm still loving. This game comes out on the 25th. And then probably Dragon Age Inquisition is my third most interesting title that I'm interested in before the end of the year, of games that didn't get bumped. Because Witcher, the new Witcher game, Witcher 3, was way high on my list, but that's, what, early 2015 now? Anyway, watch this trailer. It's a weird choice. They basically begin it in this dystopian future where things look pretty grim on Earth and people are being scanned and decided as to whether or not they should be allowed onto these rockets and sent to these other planets to colonize them because ours is clearly being used up and is going to go away. And they really went dark on it. I was surprised. I'm so looking forward to that game. If you played Alpha Centauri, then you are stoked. Are you not? You should be. Xbox Live rewards members get $5 online. What? Oh, I got this wrong. They get $5 extra with online pre-orders. Here's their exact verbiage on their site. Order Call of Duty Advanced Warfare for yourself and get Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham as a holiday gift. And get 30,000 credits to redeem on games, map packs, season passes, movies, TV shows, and more. They said this on Xbox Wire is where I specifically got this. I'll continue the quote. Xbox Live Rewards members will receive 1,000 rewards credits, 5,000 credits more than non-rewards members receive, for each game pre-ordered on both Xbox One and 360, which equates to $5. Heaven forbid they start using actual, just say dollars, gosh dang it. And if you're in Britain, say pounds. And if you're in the UK or other parts of the EU, rather, call them euros. If you're in Vietnam, tell me how many dong it's going to cost me. How many dong extra? How many extra dongs are you going to give me? Are you going to give me, Microsoft? I desire additional dong for my rewards members programs. Sorry. This whole article has been an excuse for me to talk about how their money is called the dong. Vine is also on Xbox One now. So if you're an Xbox One owner, you can watch 6-second videos at your leisure. I assume you can snap it as well to the framework there that they got for that snapping, whatever they call it. I don't know, man. Vine's fine. I don't have a problem with Vine. There's some very inventive things happening on Vine. There's also some really obnoxious, worrying trends happening on Vine that I don't like at all. But there's some neat stuff. I just don't know how you're going to... Would you sit and watch just 6-second after 6-second video on a console? Would you? Someone will. What am I saying? This would be like somebody saying, well, no one's going to sit and watch somebody play StarCraft or Dota on a computer screen. That seems silly. Why not go play the game yourself? Well, it turns out there are millions who would watch that. So what do I know? Vine bugs me, though. Difficult to get my head around why so much, but it does. Standalone white PS4 now available or will be available in the UK. That's the United Kingdom. It almost wasn't. Those Scottish, any Scottish listeners out there? You guys just about tore away, man. They can take your stuff, but they'll never take your freedom. So later this week, Sony confirmed the UK buyers will be able to get this white PS4, the standalone unit, on the 17th of October. That is this weekend. And Sony Computer Entertainment of Europe is the ones letting everybody know. They told Video Gamer this. And they have an Amazon UK listing for the gameless snowy white system. That seems pretty cool. They're calling it the Glacier White PS4 for an estimated retail price of €399. But that's been updated. Sony has now confirmed it will be €349. That's pretty good. Why aren't we getting a white thing over here, guys? What's up? You don't like us very much? It has to be Destiny or nothing. Amazon Game Studios has unveiled 3 new games. They've been building up this studio, kind of quietly working away, hiring a few people. I know a friend of the program, Garnett Lee, got a job up there. Don't exactly know his role. Something about game director or something, which is awesome because Garnett's a cool guy and he deserves it. Fellow podcaster and rad dude all around. You may know him from his 1UP days. Did a podcast with Jeff Cannata for a while called Weekend Confirmed. Those shows are off the air now, sadly, but Garnett kicking it up there at Amazon. These games are called Till Morning's Light, Tales from Deep Space, and Creepstorm. They all look like they're meant for Fire TV and Fire tablets, Kindle Fire tablets, to me. Which makes sense. If you're trying to build your platform, why not have some original content on there? So good luck to them. I don't know what's going to happen or what comes out of this, but they have hired some top talent. Forget about Garnett. There's like some major names in game dev working there now. So one can only guess. Minecraft. Everything's Minecraft. Minecraft hits PlayStation Vita in North America on October 14th. That was what? Yesterday? So you should already have this thing. Did you guys get it? What do you think? I mean, I like the idea of it having two sticks. It's a little more sensible than mobile versions in my mind. But as far as, you know, traversing your world and whatnot. So let's see. The game's also cross-buy for PlayStation 3 and Vita. Players who have Minecraft on either platform can upgrade for PS4 edition for only $5, which I also think is a cool thing that they're doing. It is cross-buy. Let's see. This is all on the heels of Microsoft purchasing the developer Mojang for $2.5 billion. Did they ever confirm that number? I wonder if that ever got totally confirmed. Because you know how these deals go. You announce it, you talk about it, and then in the end, there's final numbers are sort of released to the public. Anyway, founders of the company are taking off, but they are happy to go ahead and put it out on a competing platform, even though Microsoft would normally they would not do this with something they owned, but this is different, I guess. I don't know. Someone built a working iPhone in Minecraft, speaking of Minecraft and phones, or I guess platforms. somebody, a German dude, made a working iPhone inside of Minecraft. So you've seen this before, right? Like people would make a working computer or a working circuit or whatever, because you can just do all these triggers and stuff, and you can create something in that world that will behave like actual devices or software routines and things like that. It is a giant iPhone that looks like one. It's all blocky and stuff. And you jump on an app, it launches the app. The app actually does stuff. It's really weird. You can't make calls on it. Doesn't have like an unlock slide. But it does have working home button, clock, apps, even a working music player. Isn't that cool? People are nuts, man. What an awesome thing. Dragon Age Inquisition is 1080p on PS4, speaking of Dragon Age, and 900p on the Xbox One. Boy, do we have a pattern of this or what? So a true 1080p on PS4, is according to BioWare. The disparity between platforms was not a concerted design choice, according to their message. Quote, they say this, "We maximize the current potential of each platform." That's what the tweet said. Lots of scrutiny about this, though, right? A lot of people are like, Assassin's Creed Unity, 900p locked in. What are we going to do? Burp-a-derp-a-der. And other games have either come out or been patched to run at true 1080p on one platform and not the other. And you hear Blizzard talking about how they barely made it, and Microsoft really pressured them to get 1080p, and they were able to eke it out at the end, but had a really hard time getting there. And developers saying both quietly behind the scenes and out loud that PS4 is heavier duty under the hood and performs better, and so it's just easier to get where they want to be. Assassin's Creed Unity developers went on record this week of saying, quote, you don't gain that much from maxed out hardware or maxed out frame rate and resolution. Unity is locked at 900p, 30 frames per second on both the PS4 and Xbox One. Everyone was mad because, you know, they're, in their mind, PS4 was probably capable of it, but they locked it in to create system parity. And then a lot of people accused Microsoft of colluding with Ubisoft on doing that. And there's a lot of conspiracies about that. But PS4 has been much more consistent in terms of running at 1080p and 60 frames per second on most of their games at release and otherwise. And that's probably just a raw hardware thing. I mean, it does bug me a little bit that when Microsoft or Sony or anybody gets on stage, and one of the big things they're touting is, oh yeah, it's next-gen graphics at 1080p. Well, then you should run at that, I think. So I'm not so much having a problem with the fact that it doesn't. It's just that you told us everything would. Or at least that's what you implied. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Hi, Scott. Ryan again. If you're playing this on Monday, happy Thanksgiving from all us Canadians. The reason I'm calling is about Smash Brothers on 3DS. I know you're avoiding the Wii U and you're trying to wait for that game to pick it up, which will probably be Zelda, but I'm curious if you picked up Smash Brothers on the 3DS or you're thinking about it. It's not going to be the same experience you get on the console where in terms of competitive play, but in terms of casual, just getting in there and you know, smashing a few Nintendo characters, it's a lot of fun, and I definitely recommend you picking it up, especially if you're looking to boot up the 3DS again. Love the show. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
Well, I love my 3DS, and it does need a new game, but I'm not sure I want to spend $40 to play a game that feels like it might be a little thin at 40. I mean, I could read more into the reviews and stuff, but how much is that game giving me? It's just going to let me get in there and pound on dudes and have kind of a weird pseudo fake story thing where I have an excuse to beat up Samus for no reason. I don't know. I don't know why I'm not sour on it. I'm just not excited, and I want to be. I'm more excited about a proper one on the Wii U, but that's still not the game that's going to get me to cave and get one. I think that Zelda game's the one, like you hinted there. I think that's where I'm going to end up. Thanks for the call. Hey, by the way, you can call or send us attachments. They're great and easy to do. 206-339-1320 is the phone number. Or you can do like this fine fellow did and send it to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Your attachments and written emails are welcome. Here's a written one from my boss, Nick. It says, "Hey, Scott, could you please give one of your great middle-of-the-road perspectives on Gamergate? Personally, these guys make my blood boil. Can you take me down from my position?" No, I cannot, because here's the problem. So I've stayed kind of away from this argument, partially because it's ridiculous. And the more we give it credence on either, on any extreme point of view, the less likely we are going to have a decent conversation about it and make any kind of difference in the world. So I have a really hard time with the whole thing. Here's the funny thing. Okay, let me tell you what I believe, and here it is simply stated, okay? And nobody ever seems to want to talk to me on these terms about it, so until they do, I guess we don't have that conversation. But it's simple as this. Are there cases of weird journalistic tactics and things happening in games journalism or all kinds of journalism? Yes, it's always been that way. Absolutely. Should we be concerned about that, or should that be part of a discussion where we try to make that better? Yes, abso-freaking-lutely. Do I think it's ever okay to threaten anyone of any gender, but especially, because I have a soft spot for my daughters and my wife, but especially women with either death or rape threats? Is that ever okay, regardless of how heated the conversation is? Abso-freaking-not-lutely. No, it's never okay. Not once, not now, not then, not ever. It's still an issue worth discussing to try to figure out why freaking jackanape butthole nard bags are out there doing this sort of thing. But it's never okay. There's no justification for it. I don't care if a games journalism site never puts anything up on their site except stuff that's been paid for by publishers or developers, or they're in the back pocket of everybody. I don't care if that's happening every day. It still doesn't justify threats, whether they're carried out or not. Third thing no one ever wants to talk about, and this, which is the core to all of this, since nobody knows who anyone is out there making these threats or otherwise, it's a useless conversation, because I guarantee you some douche who's hurling death threats and rape threats every 5 minutes on Twitter and his fake Facebook accounts and everywhere else, I want a technology that will teleport him right here next to me right after he does one of those, so that he is laid bare as to who he is. And that it was him who did it. Let's see how tough he is then. I guarantee you he's not tough. He's nothing. Come out of the freaking dark. If you're going to make a threat, do it like a man. Do it out in the light where everybody can see who you are and what your name is and where you live. All right? Now, those three simple precepts have created a giant tempest in a fairly big teapot. And I just have stayed away from it because nobody wants to talk about it on those terms. And I hate that. But that's where I stand. Got one from Rob who says, "Hey, Scott, just wanted to weigh in on your digital download debate. I love the idea of downloading straight to my console, but one thing holds me back from going fully digital. Trade-ins. I can't afford to buy all the games I want out fancy." What? Let me read that again. "I can't afford to buy all the games I fancy." Oh, he's got to be from the UK. "Outright, but trading in old games at a bricks and mortar store lets me do that on my budget. What do you think?" Boop, says Rob. Yeah, that's a part of this, isn't it? I mean, it's not so much what's keeping you from going digital. You'll be forced into it one day, because one day that there just won't be games to trade in. So enjoy it while you got it, man. I'm neither for nor against the idea of trade-ins. I think there's a bunch of ado about nothing when it comes to people arguing about whether it's okay to jack prices up on those or whatever's going on there, because all of it is temporary. This is all a half measure. It's all going away. At some point, everything is digital and that stuff's not going to exist and you won't have the discount place to go get it. And then the industry will be forced to have lesser priced stuff. There will come a day where maybe you can relinquish your ownership of a piece of digital software and someone else can have it at a discount and you can get a piece of that. I think it's entirely possible that the industry goes in that direction in some way.
Matt, Brian from Houston. Got to talk about a big mistake I just made. was at a garage sale, and I sold my Nintendo 64 and immediately regretted it. I shouldn't have done that. Some of the best Zelda and Mario experiences ever on that console, and I sold it. Why did I do that? Luckily, a dad bought it for his little kid, and they're probably going to have a lot of fun with it. Good for them, but immediate regret. Just had to share.
Oh, man. I did this. I sold my N64. I sold my PS1. I sold my Xbox Original, my PS2, my Sega Genesis, my SNES, my Master System, my CDX, my Sega CD, my Saturn, my 3DO. I sold them all, damn it. I shouldn't have sold any of them. I wish I had kept them because now I actually have a place to keep them all and, you know, whatever. But when I was, you know, in the thick of all that, I didn't always. And sometimes money was all that mattered to get the next big thing. And if I wanted that Dreamcast, I needed to sell whatever I had before that and try to keep things current. And even the Dreamcast had to go at some point to pay for something else. I regret that all. I really do. So I feel for you, dude. I know how you feel. I mean, luckily you can get on eBay and get an N64 and a bunch of games for relatively cheap. That's not hard now. But yeah, if I have any regrets about my games purchasing over the years that I didn't keep all that console stuff, I would love to have that whole collection. I mean, I bought them and I got hardly anything for them. I sold them all at such a crappy discount. Yeah, I feel for you, dude. I'm with you. Email from Charles says, just started listening to your show and I love it. However, I wanted you to know that compared to your voice, your music and sound effects transitions are super loud. Ones like this. While I listen to my car, I have plenty. Oh gosh, sorry about that. In my car, I can't even get to the. Oh geez, shut up. Oh good Lord. Oh geez. All right. Sorry. Hoping that guy's listening in his car. He says, I'm listening to my car, so I have it pretty loud anyway. But when you pause and the sound effect kicks in, it's actually alarming. Well, part of the problem is I'm going doot do doot do do. End of story, doot do do, and then that gets real loud at the end. I apologize. Maybe I'll adjust those around. He says, everything else is great. Thanks for what you're doing, Charles. Well, thank you, Charles. Also, it could be the way your car is Bluetoothing that stuff out or something. I don't know. Others will write in and tell me if I'm doing this wrong. It's entirely possible.
Hey, Scott, I was listening to Thursday's show where you talked about Call of Duty. If you get the digital version, you can upgrade to the PS4 version or Xbox version for free. And I noticed that was the same way with Destiny, but I didn't know that. So I bought the box copy, and I was a little disappointed to find out that I couldn't upgrade to the PS4 Destiny for free because I had a box copy. Just wondering what your thoughts were on that, why it seems to be digital only, that they're letting people upgrade for free. And if you buy the box copy of it, then you're pretty much forced, if you want to play it on the new system, that you have to buy the game again. Love the show. Thanks. Talk to you later.
Honestly, don't have a good answer for this. I don't know why it would matter. Also, I didn't know Destiny was doing that, so that's good to know. I mean, I went straight to the PS4 version, but, you know, I had no idea they were even doing that program. But I don't understand what the difference is. Either way, especially with a game like Destiny, you can't play unless you have a legitimate license to play it. And both the digital and physical games give you that license. So at least in the transition, I understand them making you buy digital as the upgrade and not going to a store and expecting the store to give you the discount. I get that. But once you've played it and you've registered, you know, your Xbox Live or your PSN account shows that you are the owner of said game. I don't know. I don't know why that is. That is kind of disappointing, isn't it? There's probably some reason I don't know. Anyone out there know? I mean, seriously, that doesn't, I'm racking my brain and I cannot think of it. I thought about it before the show. I'm thinking about it now and I will think about it long into the night. Ian Smith wrote in, says, Scott, listening to your conversation about costs of games and inflation. This is a hot topic. You guys have been sending in lots of great stuff. And if you haven't heard your email or a call about it, you either, it may have been too long or something, or it hasn't been played yet and I might still, either way, just know I read and listen to them all. So regardless of any of that, also shorter, it gets played. Let's just put that out there. If you're saying in a call, the shorter it is and the more meaningful it is, it'll get played. If you send me a 3-minute call, I've gotten a bunch of those on this topic. They're just not going to make it on. I may not have a deep opinion about the topic, but I do have a question, says Ian Smith. What was the most you spent on a game and its title? That's weird. And its title. What's the difference? You're only paying for the one thing. Anyway, I remember going to Babbage's back in the day and I bought Street Fighter 2 for my Super Nintendo for $92 when it first came out. You are on point. The game industry is at least trying to be nice to gamers by not increasing the price too much if you look at the whole picture historically. Love the show. Boop. Ian Smith. I do not remember a $92 Super Street Fighter 2 at all. Was that a special edition thing? Why is that not ringing a bell? I feel like I should remember that. I bought that. But I don't. I know I didn't pay that. I think I paid $49. I don't know. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to do some searching on that. I was unaware of that. But the most I ever paid, I think still to this day, was just a collector's edition for World of Warcraft, first World of Warcraft release. I paid whatever that was, 100 and something bucks for that. I think that's the most I've ever spent on a single game. I mean, at point of release, like if you look at games I've subscribed to or bought sequels to or bought DLC for, that, if you want to add all that up, it's, I'm sure it's more. But as a like a go and buy it over the counter launch game, I think that's the one I spent the most money for. I think.
Hey, Scott, this is Buckhead, a.k.a. the Sonic the Hedgehog of beer. Hey, listen, man, I was watching.
Wait. The Sonic the Hedgehog of beer. I wish he was here. I would ask him more about that.
Covert Affairs on my Xbox One through Amazon Prime the other day. And when the show was over, I got an achievement. I like Piper Parabo as much as the next guy, but an achievement for watching TV? Just wondering what your thoughts are on this whole gamification of everything. Love the show. Keep it up. Boop.
It makes sense to me that they would do that. At least for, okay, so it must have been the first thing you watched to completion on the device, right? They, you know, achievements, whatever. I don't really care about them all that much. It's fun to get them occasionally. I don't ever usually go crazy to try to hunt them all down. But it makes sense, you know, like a system-wide achievement. They want you to use all the features, but also it's just kind of clever to say, oh, you watched the whole show. They're not going to do that for every show or anything. I mean, a lot of cases, if you're running your cable box through there, they don't always know what you're watching anyway, so they really probably couldn't, but to be able to say, oh, you've snapped your first Skype chat over to the left side. Congratulations. You're the worst or whatever. I could totally see that. But yeah, gamification, the bigger, broader question, gamification of life is on it's here, whether we like it or not. And it will continue to annoy in some ways and also innovate in others and eventually shake out to be whatever it's going to be. To me, it's like free to play. So annoying at first. People getting it terribly wrong, somewhat wrong, kind of okay, really well. But eventually it shakes out and people start following models that actually work. This is experimentation time. And that's how it goes with this or any other of these trends. So gamification, here's what I say. It's here to stay, but it's going to get weird. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. If you'd like to participate in what the show is and how we roll and how it continues to function, you can be a patron at patreon.com/frogpants. That helps all the shows on the Frog Pants Network do what they do. Boop Show is one of those. It's one of the shows I'm most happy with, most proud of, and I want to keep it going. Let's keep this ball rolling, man. I really am enjoying it. I hope you guys are as much as I am, because I am digging it. Maybe one of my favorite things I'm doing right now. I know I say that a lot about a lot of stuff, but I do enjoy it. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. You can find us at boopshow@gmail.com. On Twitter, boopshow. 206-339-1320 is that email, or is that phone number again. It's super easy. Just take your phone, dial the number, and leave us a message. 206-339-1320. Thank you to everybody who left calls today. You can catch streaming repeats of this show at alphageekradio.com. Our music is always provided by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. And I'm going to leave you guys with a song. So had someone write in and said, hey, Scott, this is Barry in Bluffdale. That means he lives close. Your friendly neighbor to the north, it's like 20 minutes from here, would like to request a game. Or no, to the north. No, you're to my south now. I moved, dude. I'm in Daybreak now. Would like to request a game remix for the end of the show. If you wouldn't mind playing Ken from Street Fighter 2. The World Warrior. It's a remix of the song is Clamato Fever is the name of it. And it's one of the best remixes over there at OCR OCremix.com. That's OCremix.com or .org. Ugh, .org. Come on, Scott. Pull it together. Thanks for the great show. Toot aloo, says Barry from Bluffdale. Bluffdale has a lot of horses and a lot of people with big yards and a lot of trucks, a lot of dualies out there. There are some people in that part of the outskirts that I do not like. They're just it's not my style. But you know what, Barry, you sound like a nice guy. Anyway, I'd be happy to play it. We're going to play it now. And again, if you haven't given OCremix.org a look, you should. It's been there for ages, and it's awesome. And I'm getting a lot of the great outro music from them. And this one is this one this time. Clamato Fever. We'll see you guys next week. We'll be back to the 2 days a week next week, all right? So don't you freaking worry. Monday, Thursday, next week, here, Boop Show. Boop! Thanks, guys. We'll see you then.
Enjoys games on the computer, such as the Minecraft.